We pray. Lord, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. We probably don't even realize how much we depend on certain experts to keep us safe from dangers we can't even see. I'm talking about the meat inspector when he detects harmful levels of bacteria in our food, or the water specialist testing for the same kind of thing in our drinking water. We depend on these folks and their expertise to do something vital for us that we would have a hard time doing for ourselves. Well, is that also true with our spiritual life and the purity of our spiritual food and water? Must we depend on the experts in theology or religion? Or can we actually become the inspectors of the doctrine we use and confess? To answer that question, we go to the Bible in two places. The first is an example of something that actually happened with a certain group of believers, while the second is a principle God has spoken to every believer. First, the example of the Bereans, Acts 17. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Now the principle is 1 John 4. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. So who's responsible for the accuracy of what you believe? The truthfulness of your church's doctrine? Shall we depend entirely on the pastors to get it right when they preach and teach? Should we leave it up to the seminary, the profs at Emmanuel, and the resolutions of CLC conventions on doctrinal matters? Yes, we want and expect our profs and pastors to know and teach the truth. God, however, has made you and every Christian responsible for testing your own spiritual food supply and serving as your own truth inspectors. This responsibility is meant to be a blessing, not a burden. As you become sensitive to your spiritual welfare, as you realize what is at stake for you, and then rely on the sure filter of God's Word to keep you safe. The Apostle John was not talking just to the pastors when he said, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God." He was addressing beloved Christians, people whom he was concerned about as far as their faith was concerned, people whom he realized would have a problem, the same problem that afflicts every believer worldwide. It's the fact that many false prophets have gone out into the world. You will encounter false teaching in many places, especially those controlled by the world. If you go to a public university, you could get a heavy dose of evolution in one or more of your courses, or a thing called moral relativism. That's the idea there are no absolutes of right or wrong. In our contact with the world every day, including our use of the media, we will hear, on the one hand, the world's rejection of what God has commanded as right and true, and on the other hand, the world's approval of what God has forbidden as wrong or false. Perhaps one day you could have a very religious friend, someone who reads the Bible all the time and yet adamantly insists that the Bible says, "Don't baptize babies." All of this is, of course, Satan's doing, for he has many ways to bait the hook, sell the lie, and bombard us with many falsehoods from many directions. That's why this fellowship is so refreshing. When we come into the fellowship here at Emmanuel or in our congregations, we get to gather around the Word of God and shut the door, so to speak, on all the lies and confusion out there. In this fellowship, we get to say, no evolution taught here. Infant baptism will be upheld here. Now, this is something we can't take for granted or handle casually. If we're not careful, the contamination of our doctrine could still happen among us. False teaching could spring up within this group, especially as one generation of believers gives way to another in the changeover. If we parents fail to teach the same truth that we hold dear to our children, then they become susceptible to swallowing the lie, whatever it may be. It is always necessary for believers at every point to keep a close eye on their meat and water of the soul and keep testing for truth and purity. Jesus, as your good shepherd who cares so much, told you, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." The Savior who died on the cross said that. That Savior paid too dearly for you and me to let us be swept away by the lies of the wolf. So in love, He warns you so that you're ready to respond. Ahead of time, He tells you about the leaven effect, how one false teaching leads to another and another and another, until finally, inevitably, if not dealt with properly, the gospel itself is contaminated within a fellowship, lost in confusion, and great spiritual harm would be done. Jesus wants to save you from that problem. So He not only gave you the warning, but also the filter to separate truth from error. I'm holding the filter. It's the same filter that the Bereans used. The truth of Scripture. This filter is going to work every time because God has spoken a clear word. He gives you a Bible that interprets itself. He does not give you a secret code you have to decipher. In the Bible, He speaks what He means, and He does so plainly. Think of it as light that you don't have to improve. And with that light will also come the power of the Holy Spirit, causing us to believe, accept, confess, and defend all this truth that would otherwise escape us. Surely, the more we know and use this Bible, the better able we are to inspect what the stranger says, or what our friend says, or what our pastor says, and compare it to the clear, life-saving truth of what our Savior says. Amen. We close today in prayer to our Lord Jesus, using the words of hymn 292, the first two stanzas of hymn 292.